Well, hello everyone. This is Joan.
And this is John. Welcome back to the Seating of the Divine, Level 3, Session 13, July 10th, 2018. Now, tonight we're going to have our open community call. And we sure hope that you all have questions and comments, and we look forward to maximum participation and a lot of fun and a lot of knowledge sharing. Of course, first we'll start with a centering meditation with Archangel Gabriel, followed by a brief review of Metatron's last session with us. Then Mark Kimmel has asked to make a short comment, which will be followed by an open discussion. So, let's all take a deep breath. And assist Joan in bringing forth our dear friend, Archangel Gabriel, for a centering meditation.
Greetings, beloved. It is I, Gabriel. I am here in a very special configuration at this time. I am here with the four archangels that were introduced to you at the conference. We are myself, Gabriel, Raphael, Michael, and Uriel. We are the overseers of the Lake Portal as well as our sacred crucible. And we come in this particular configuration at this time to surround you in a very special way. If you visualize the same type of cross that was introduced to you in the conference when Yeshua brought forth that seventh dimensional template and the magenta coding. So we sit in that same configuration around each one of you. Michael above your head, Raphael at your feet, myself to your left, and Uriel to your right. We will remain with you for the duration of the integration of these vast templates of light. We will remain with you as long as there is potential for interference in the energetics that we have all created together. And you need to be aware of this. And you need to call on us and to acknowledge our presence around your field in this very special configuration. It will go far in helping you to eliminate the interferences that have been bombarding you since you left the conference. And this is for all who attended, as well as those who attended in spirit. You are energetically intertwined, and that can never, ever change. You are united in these vast energetics. So take another deep breath. And as you close your eyes, visualize a great light descending through your crown, through the entire body energetic system. And this light opens up every chakra and brings it into alignment with your fifth dimensional state of consciousness of your spirit. As you continue to practice daily in the grounding technique that has been given to you, you will notice how that center channel of your body is expanding and that the light flows freely through that channel as you use your chakra system, as you use the triads, as you engage your solar system, your solar center, and as you anchor yourself deep within Mother Earth into the Christed crucible of the matrix of Christ consciousness. Feel that light energy within you. Begin to know it intimately so that you never have distortions that interrupt your ability to maintain what you have achieved. So it is never distorted. It will take your attention daily, minute by minute, because many are coming to extinguish that light. You have drawn the attention of the opposing factor here. And we do not say this, beloveds, to frighten you. You are warriors of light, as are we. And we stand in the integrity that is required of us. You have the strength. You have the courage. And you have the support that is needed to diminish these interferences. So unite with us now, this evening, heart to heart, so that we may work together in a coherent, unified way. What we have created together is too important to have any distortions. Take another deep breath. Be the light that you are, and be very present in this moment. Blessings.
Thank you, Gabriel. As always, we are so thankful for your presence and for the gifts that you've bestowed upon us this evening and the wonderful additional friendships and guards that you have brought with you. We all know that we will do well to keep them with us at all times. So, let's move on and let's just do a brief review of what Metatron brought to us the last time we were together. As you know, he made it very clear that the crucible must be made up and through the human co-creation with the great beings of light. He felt that it was also important for us to remember and know that it's made up of members from the stargates of Sirius, the Pleiades, the Arcturians, as well as the collective consciousness of the archangelic realm, the Lords of Light, and the Ascended Masters. As my dear father would have said, wow, what a team. This crucible was created by us and must be used to raise a physical planet back into its Christ consciousness. The anomalies or fractures are in the collective consciousness of a physical planet. Because it is a human or physical form, it has to be resolved to return to its original state through the human form. That means us. When we have a fracture, it reminds us of the final days of Atlantis, in which many of us were there, if not all of us. In those days, there was a force known as the Belials that were present, and we wanted you to know that this force is still alive and well. They will take advantage of any misstep by us to disrupt our progress. They will enter through your mental, emotional body, through your reaction. Beware of every time you react unconsciously or through a physical weakness. He made us aware that this was meant only as a warning and not to frighten us, as our crucible is protected. When you enter the third dimensional body, all of the mastery that you ever had was not available to you anymore. Now, Metatron stated that he and the great beings of light are here to show us the path back to that mastery. Yes, we have certain master imprints that are now being awakened in us. It's important for us to recognize that we were works in progress, and our bodies have not yet transitioned into fifth dimension. We are limited still in being able to access the totality of our soul spirit. So, as we move forward, summon Michael's shield and stand up with courage. Make a vow to stay as conscious as possible and to practice every day. The next 3 months are crucial, and we'll take our time to go within and uncover more of our soul spirit. Our soul spirit will help guide us in what is needed by us individually to further transform our third dimensional bodies. Now, the groups are obviously important, but now it's time to find you in all of this, apart from the group. Finally, he mentioned to cultivate the community calls, sharing, consulting with one another, so that there is discussion and sharing with the community, because we need to be all on the same page. Now, before we have an open discussion, Mark Kimmel, our dear friend from California.
No, California moved. I'm sorry, brain dead.
Are you okay, Joan?
No.
Oh, okay. Joan's not sure, but I know that Mark is in California and would like to say a couple of words. So, Mark, floor is yours.
What I wanted to speak about was the following.
There you go. Yeah, thanks.
You're hearing me all right?
Yes, yeah. Sir. Perfect.
Okay. I believe if we all understood just how special and unique our crucible is, then we would feel more protective of it. In other words, if we understood that we are not like other groups or other sources of information out there, then we would value our crucible more highly and be much more willing to keep it private and not share it outside our collective. So maybe we can have a little discussion around this point.
That's
all I have to say.
Idea. That's a great idea, Mark. Thank you.
Nice way to kick it off this evening, and I think that will be great. Thank you for doing that. And now how we do that, of course, is remember we hit star 6 and we will be live. And then, when we're done speaking, if you hit star 6 again, then what that does, of course, is that that mutes you and keeps us from having any background noise. So anyone who would like to kick off and start on Mark's comments, we would very much appreciate that.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes, please. Go right ahead.
Great. Hey, guys. Hey, family. Thank you. Because, you know, the I would agree. And if I could share a little bit of my experience these last couple of weeks, just briefly, there is a force. And, of course, for those of you who know me, I understand conspiracy. This is not conspiracy. This is realizing that there are, you know, the reason why we are doing the work that we're doing is, and why we are, why we don't have the information and the ability to just download our spirit self is because we have been blocked and we have been hijacked through our consciousness. And so these forces are real, you know, or we wouldn't be doing what we're doing. You know? So having said that, I know there's a lot of us that don't play in those realms, but how it's showing up in my space is that it's very difficult for me to remember, retain, or be able to recall a lot of the work that's been presented. I was on a divine group call the other night, and we were just feeding the divine, and we were going through the grounding, and it took four of us to go, well, I think we do this, and I think it loops through here, and, you know, I mean, it was bringing it into the lower dantian and up, and it's like it seemed as though it was brand new material, and I was still confused. And then when you reference it, you go, oh, yeah, how could I have forgotten? You know, and so in my space, what I'm seeing is it's almost like the veil of forgetfulness is or the shroud of whatever it is. And so, you know, I don't know if anybody else is experiencing some of that, but I know I am. And Mark, thank you for bringing that up as far as, you know, part of that veil of not getting it is that sometimes I don't realize that this body of work is a specific body of work that's been presented to us because we have a specific set of skills. I don't mean to go into the movie thing, but we have a specific set of skills, and, you know, and we are here gathered to do something incredible that nobody else is being asked to do. And the life of me, I can't even tell you what that is right now because I don't even remember what it is that we're supposed to be doing. But I know it's really important, and I know it's only us. And I didn't get the importance of the, you know, if it's outside, it can be infiltrated and the protection of it and around it, you know. So in other words, the soul didn't really come in until I had a lot of experience outside of me that took place that showed me how powerful and how incredible this group of people are. So with that, I'll kind of hush. But it is showing up in the subtle ways. And so I've just had to look at it and say, anything that is distracting me from doing my meditations, doing my inner work, is, you know, I look at it and go, I don't think that, in other words, whatever it is that's distracting me is a negative force. And whether it's a negative force that's stopping me or it's just a negative force, it's got to go. So it's like nothing can get in, period. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. No doubt. It's got to go. So anyway, thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
I have a question to review about the streaming of the energies from Andromeda, from that holographic field, down through the blue crystal of knowledge, and then it comes down to the etheric crystal. Now we stream that to the chakras, to the soul star, then the crown chakra, and each of the chakras, including the solar center. And are we to stop that at the root chakra, or are we to follow it down right to the earth star? I know it's been mentioned not to, but on the recording, it's mentioned that we take it down to the Earth star. Do we wait 3 months before we take it to the Earth star or not?
Yes.
Okay.
Because the purpose of that was to get it in a... These templates are so massive, as you have discovered.
Yes.
And that's why you have trouble with that grounding technique, the complete grounding technique, because that is so energetically potent and was designed to help you not just receive the sixth and seventh dimensional light templates, which are massive, massive templates, but to start to integrate it. The flow of that into the body is going to take 3 months. And that's not the full integration. They're talking a year after that. So they want you to hold that streaming, that the blue crystal of knowledge holds the knowledge of the all that is. So with that streaming mechanism, with the interface of Andromeda, they want you to hold that streaming force through the blue crystal, through that interface with Andromeda and the etheric crystal in your body, in your chakra system, so you can begin to integrate some of it, a portion of it, in the body, because now it's all about you at that individual level, but most importantly, it's all about transforming the body, because the body as it sits is a hindrance to us. At that spirit level, it can't hold all that we are. It can't hold these templates. So it has to be upgraded to that fifth dimension. So that's our chore, as we see it, going forward for the rest of this year, is to work on the mental-emotional body and that sovereignty in the mental-emotional body, and the power centers, and the body itself, to upgrade the frequency of that body so it can receive these vast templates that we unlocked. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you for the clarification. Now, to follow this through, I've been using that method for the past, well, since the conference. And does it mean it's 3 more months before, or we will get the information when we are ready for it?
Yes. Basically, That's it. I mean, they have told me since the conference that we're going to revisit the color codes to help us with the sovereignty in the body. And we're going to do a lot of other things, but they're going to start off with this magenta color coding and expand upon it and the importance of it in bringing and uplifting the body into fifth dimension. So there's a lot on the agenda. You know, we've just begun to create within us the energetics that are needed to be able to completely integrate and use this sixth and seventh dimensional light templates.
Excellent. Can I ask another question?
Of course.
It's about the magenta color code and the creation of this cross. We sort of stream energy again from source into the chakras and hold this again, too, into the root chakra?
The magenta color code is, it was part of that geometry. The diamond, mm-hmm. the elongated diamond.
Yes.
So it was about receiving that into your consciousness and into your body.
Okay.
So that the magenta coding is a fifth dimensional coding.
Yes.
And it's an integral part of shifting the body's consciousness.
And we
because
feel
we
that.
Receive that.
That circular energy moving in the body. And I guess it can move in different ways in the body, too. Or
yes. And the where I've been using it, and maybe if somebody else has a comment on this, I've been using it in my chakra system and changing the frequency, especially those first four chakras. Very helpful.
Okay.
You know how we did that sapphire blue coating?
Yes.
Well, this is just another step in that iteration of bringing a higher frequency in the chakra system.
Okay, so we could sort of bring it into the first four chakras with
mm-hmm.
the intention of bringing it in the chakras and just feeling what is happening there?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great questions.
Anybody else have a comment on that?
This is Sharka. I have a question. I don't have a comment on this. I'm doing that magenta code also, but I understood also that it kind of goes horizontally. So I still need to listen to it more so I can add to it. But I have a practical question, which is related to the raising the vibration of the body. I really diligently worked on it for the last 2 months, and I believe, you know, I did raise the vibration. However, I had a cataract surgery last week, and you know, when they kind of were alarmed because my blood pressure was very, very high. And I have realized that I did consciously, I chose not to put attention on it. I was aware of my high blood pressure, but I thought that it is because of raising my vibration. So my question is about, you know, is it, you know, does it, is it related? And does it matter that, or is it harmful for my body to have the high blood pressure? Or if it is, what can I do about it? Anyone can answer that.
Well, it is about establishing harmony in the body. And yes, it is dangerous to have an extremely high blood pressure. And sometimes mm-hmm. when you undergo any kind of medical procedure, that will spike your blood pressure. And also, you know, those procedures sometimes interrupt what you have built in the body, because the body, in those procedures, there's a little trauma to the body itself. So sometimes you have to work, as well as the healing process, you have to regenerate the body's energetic frequencies, because that's been disturbed. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I believe that I probably for many years have the higher blood pressure because of the vibrations. That's what I thought. I used to think that it is related to it. And
no,
so
no, it's not. No.
Mm-hmm. And I don't want to take medications.
I mean, that's something that you're going to have to research, Sharka.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because there are lots of things you can do for that.
Mm-hmm.
I would highly
Google
suggest
it,
because when you're working with the frequencies of the body, it should bring coherence and balance in the body, not the opposite, not distortions,
mm-hmm.
such as high blood pressure, because that's very dangerous to the health and well-being of the body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was I was ignoring it, let's say, thinking that it's because of that raising the vibration. So, I'll do that. I will. Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Hi, this is Peggy. Am I unmuted?
No, you're on.
You're on.
Okay,
we can hear you.
Okay, good. I didn't attend the conference, but I really felt one.
Yeah, you did, Peggy.
Yeah.
Several times.
Sorry, nice try.
Well, I edited the sound file, so I had to listen to it a lot, but maybe that's why I'm feeling the way I've been feeling. I've been with the Mastering Alchemy and with Joan's teachings, the Seeing the Divine, for many years, and it's just finally sinking in, and I think it's really what we did at the conference, and I say we because I was there in spirit, and I'm just feeling a little bit concerned, and I thought I would throw it out because Matt started with this idea about the importance of our group. This idea, what is the name of the forces that are in opposition to us? What is that? Baal?
Belial.
Belial, okay.
Belial.
Belial. I don't recall hearing that name throughout all these years. Maybe I've just been sleeping or unconscious, and I'm wondering, is that surfacing now because we opened the seventh template? Is that why does that seem to be happening now? I just have never felt any dark forces or anything like that throughout these years.
Well, because there is such the energetics of these two light templates are so extensive, and that they will really push the physical part of ourself into fifth dimension. Our consciousness is already capable of functioning somewhere between fifth, sixth, seventh dimension, but the body is lagging behind. So these templates, yeah, and so these templates are designed to propel that and change all that. Well, you know, the power of one in Atlantis, I don't know if you've read anything about that, or you know, there's a lot been written about the fall of Atlantis and the power of the one. And then the opposition to that was separation and segregation, and they were of the Belial force. So that's what's surfacing now, because it's disrupting all of that and changing it through us. We were there then, and we are making a big difference now in the resurrection of the body, of the human, and the planet. So we've come up, I mean, I think, I firmly believe that this group, the light of this crucible is shining so brilliant that we have come up on the radar screen big time.
Okay, thank you.
So you're welcome. Thank you. That was that's a good point. Melinda, do you have anything to say about? Yeah, go ahead, Peggy.
Well, is the Belial affecting us as a group, or is it individually? Do we have evidence of it affecting us individually, or both?
Both.
Both. Okay. And some of the extreme physical limitations that I've been experiencing this last year, could that be that?
It could be, yes.
Okay.
Because it
right.
hits you. It hits you where you live. It hits you in your mental, emotional body, and the response to that, and how it puts pressure on the physicality, the health and well-being of the body.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's very
thank you
insidious.
For the explanation. Thank you.
Me too.
I'm
okay.
going to mute myself
Peggy?
Now. Yeah?
No, that's this is John. You're not
no
a Lone
kidding.
Ranger. I've had a lot of similar problems this year, and I've always heard of the dark side, but I've never heard the term Belial. And I remember being there in the last few days of Atlantis, actually a couple of times, but not real super vivid. So maybe that's why that name Belial doesn't come up to me. But I knew that there were, you know, quote, dark forces there that had created, you know, all the imbalance and so on and so forth. And a lot of us were, you know, let's say the white hats trying to save things. And some of us were on the other side. But it doesn't mean anything now, because we're all in this together trying to put the white light and shine it back on it. I just wanted to let you know that, okay?
Yeah, thank you, Jen. Thank
sure.
you, everyone.
You betcha, kid.
I have a question. Also, I have heard about the lilacs from the Metatron channel.
We can't hear you.
Hello? I have
hello.
I know
that's better.
I know about the lilacs from the Metatron's channeling about Atlantis, but also I have heard about the Illuminati's, and my question is it the same thing?
Basically,
yes. It is. Okay. Here's what I thought, but I was not.
And you know, it's not to, you know, frighten people about this. And you can't blame everything on that, because you are responsible for what you create your actions.
Really, you can't.
So you
blame
can't them? Just say, "Oh well," you know. It's like the devil made me do it. You know.
Oh shoot.
But it at this stage of the game, you know, that's just another thing that you have to pay attention to.
Yeah, I do see. I observe politics a lot, and I do see how it reflects in politics. How you know, how this force is keeping us separated. You know, how important it is to unite.
Yeah. Right. Melanie, were you going to say something?
Yeah. No? This is my understanding. Of course, the Sons of Belial, we get to know them in Atlantis. But that dark energy, that pervasive energy, is beyond having a name. It's beyond being able to assign it to a group. It's a pervasive energy that has moved throughout the universe. And we faced it in Atlantis in the form of the Belial. We have faced it at various times throughout our history. in the splits in these theme communities. And since our last call, the CAPRs have come up for me a lot. And investigating and trying to look beyond what is out there written as historical documents, which I think are very jaded and one-sided, I kept pushing myself and going deeper and deeper. And then after a few days of that and sitting in those energetics, then I saw it. It is this dark energetic field. It shimmers. It moves through. It comes through an organization. It comes through individuals. And it settles on you like a blanket, and it looks for a way in. And we have faced this many times throughout our incarnations on Earth. And once this awareness came in and I saw this energy, Archangel Michael showed up for me. And he showed up in a way I have never seen him. He's never presented himself to me in any way but in this just beautiful, loving, bright being. And once I saw this darkness and watch how it has moved throughout time, he appeared in his full warrior regalia. He had his breastplate on. He had his shield and his sword. And this is what he said to me, and that he wanted me to share with you guys. And it's like, this is not a time to fear, but a time to be aware. It is time to step into your role as a warrior of the light. We will not run. We will not hide. We will turn, and standing together, we will look this darkness in the face. The legions of all the lords of light are standing with you shoulder to shoulder. The very same light that drew the attention of the dark to this group will be the very same light that will diminish and neutralize it. Well, so it's about being aware. And as Joan just said, those light templates were so massive that we can't, you know, it's like the spotlight has now been turned off this group. And, you know, those of you who have listened to Lee Carroll through the years, he always says, bugs are always drawn to the light. Which I think is a very interesting way to look at it. And so we can do this. I have no doubt we're being called to do it. It's time, and it's just time to be aware that this is the very same energy we have faced over and over and over again throughout humanity's mm-hmm. time on this planet.
Yeah. Can I say something?
Sure. Okay.
I wanted to present a little bit different viewpoint, and that is, due to some past experiences, I know that by my authority as a light being, I can burn up darkness. Just burn it right up, and if necessary, cast it into outer darkness, away from the earth. And so, instead of knowing that I could be attacked, I know that I cannot be attacked, or woe unto them that try. So it's the same awareness, but it's like, you know, you put your shoes on before you go outside, or, I mean, it's just, if you're part of the Ancient of Ancients, I mean, take up your authority. And this is nothing new. You've been giving off light all your life. And everyone probably already knows how to deal with it. Or you're going to learn right quick.
Well, that's a really good comment, John. And I think, you know, it is about the authority that you take, that you are that light, and woe be to anyone that tries to diminish it. And I think that's a learned, a remembering of it, let's say that, a remembering of how to do that. So that, and they don't bother you then.
Hey, everybody, this is Joe. You want to go ahead? Go ahead. Thought you said okay. All right.
Okay, are you going to go? It's fine.
Go ahead, Joe.
So I'd really like to build on that. This is Joanne. And when, you know, I could feel the ripples that were moving through our community. And the regardless of circumstance, it's the energetics. And when I started hearing the term Belial and all of that, it really it piqued my interest. And one of the things that I feel the invitation is to remember that the darkness is part of unity as well. And that it's not an us and them scenario. And the work that we have been doing so strongly is about the unification of all. So where we played, and we still do in the third dimensional world, we are playing in a world of separation, segregation, all of those pieces. And our what I feel we're being called as the light that we are is to love that darkness free, to love it back into the unification of all that is. And so to feel like I have to protect myself against something that feels external to me is, I feel more that the way that this will arise in my life, and it does, is every time I feel a trigger of something, then that's my invitation to be the presence that can observe whatever is arising. I don't even feel like I need to label it as darkness. I just feel it as like a shift in my field. Anger will arise, or I'll have a judgment, or those pieces. And then to become that stillness that allows whatever that is to be loved free, or to have its voice as well. And I feel that that's the power of what we've created together. And to me, yes, there is a crucible, but we are also the crucible. So no one can take that away from us. That's who we are and what we've done. And we need to, from a community perspective, I feel the invitation is for us to be observant of how and if we are segregating others, or, you know, what we're doing in terms of our interrelational actions together. And that becomes the collective responsibility of all of us, certainly our own individual, but also we have a collective responsibility to be clear about how we interrelate together, because those are the new synapses of the new playground that we're creating. So, you know, I just want to, for me, whenever we bring up that word, there is, you know, it's almost as if there's a feeling of having to put up protection, and I feel we're beyond that now. I feel that we can now create in a new way. And I'm very grateful for everyone in this group and the love that is present. When I need to have a stable function, I do go into the crucible, the collective crucible, and that recalibrates and helps recalibrate my personal, me as the crucible as well. So thank you. That's my share.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hi, this is Katie. I love the comments we're getting here, especially the last ones from John and Joanne. I would like to add a little something to it. What Joanne so beautifully described is where we will be when we are actually at the master's level. But as masters in training, we're still dealing with a crazy world around us. So to give an analogy, when we're driving, there's crazy drivers out there, and we do need the protection starting with awareness. And if there's a crazy driver coming at us, we need to take action. And in the world we live in, there are what we could call crazy forces who are not yet in love and unity, and we need to be aware of them. And that's the first step, to be aware of them, because one of the weaknesses we had in Atlantis and have in lightworkers, as lightworkers, is that we tend to look only for what the good is, what the light is, and in this world there still is a force of dark, both inside us and exterior. So I totally agree with Joanne. Our job is to love and heal the darkness inside us, but the world's not yet in unity, and I believe we have to be aware of that, or we are vulnerable to those forces who do come on us like a cloak, like Milena said, which is exactly what I perceive also.
Mm-hmm.
And as we heal ourselves, we need to take appropriate action for those not yet in unity.
This is Maria Paz, and I would like to ask something that I think is relevant because it hasn't been spoken today. And it is related with the dimension of trauma. I think I personally remember Atlantis. I remember the last day. I remember the trauma of losing everything after having worked for such a long time for our dream to become something. It didn't happen that way. It is still now extremely painful. And then we have the trauma of crucifixion. And that makes things even worse. And I truly believe that as a community, we were all affected by that. Again, still painful. So there is a lot of fragmentation. And how these kind of forces, you know, work is through that fragmentation. And most of the time is unconscious. So this is the only reason why I'm talking now. You know, I want to call their attention to the fact that many of the things that we do, for example, what happened with the information that we were not supposed to share and we did, and I'm sure that we did with the best intention, you know, to try to help others, however it was, right? It was an unconscious movement. And I really believe that, you know, if you are not aware that so many things have been not healed yet, and we are still dealing with very, very, very painful memories from that time, it is very easy, you know, that this kind of thing happen again. So when Melania was talking in our last call about how difficult it is, even now, to deal with all these memories, I really want to ask you, you know, how do we do with that? Because for me, it's still, even though I have done so much healing, specifically, you know, with the situation in Atlantis, is still there. And I know that I'm still pretty fragmented because of that. And I know that the group is fragmented as well. So I think that it's not that we want to do something wrong. It comes from the unconscious. So
yes, and it's about making more conscious.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to, you know, I think that's a very good point, Maria, and I'd like to open that up, too, if anybody else has a comment on that or their perspective on it, how to deal with that pain. Because a lot of it...
Hello? Hello, this is Lindley. The last time we got together and spoke, an image came to me. And the image was the crucible, and everyone was in the circle, and in front of them, each person had their own individual fire, and behind them, each person had their own individual sweat lodge. In many traditions, what one does before one comes to the circle for ceremony is that one cleanses. So my thought was that individually, we all, in whatever way we feel most comfortable, need to cleanse on an ongoing basis. It's not about when something comes up. It's about just a part of your practice. You know, some people, it's a shower in prayer. Or we can use color codes, whatever it is, but it needs to be specific for cleansing purposes. And then one comes to the circle. And the fire is also healing. Diana called me, I think it was... this morning, I don't know, 12:30 in the morning, asking me to work with her to do some work for our circle. You're here?
I'm here.
Good. Thank you. So you can share that. And I didn't give whatever this is a name. And, you know, we're all familiar with the darkness. It was a kind of stickiness that I felt. And I saw fires going out, individual fires. There were no faces associated with that. But what that told me was that, as others have said in their way, that we still are doing our healing work. I see it as cleansing work. And if we integrate that into our practices, we will find that we will not have these up and down waves. I have been having the most exquisite life since I left the conference. And it was only until I did work with my sister that I felt this wobble. So I felt like I do cleansings. I that's part of my shamanic practice to do that, because I have to work with people who need healing. And I just feel very strongly that rather than get caught up in naming, labeling, it should be an automatic practice. And Diana, you can share what it was that we did.
Well, Lindley, can I, this is Milena, can I just speak to what you spoke about?
Yes.
So that is, that is one of the purposes of the Ring of Fire around the crucible, if you remember. So when we enter the crucible now, we first pass through that Ring of Fire. And it is in the Ring of Fire, remember, still on the water. So both are part of that cleansing ritual that has been put in place. So anytime you enter the crucible, you first have to pass through those two things.
Well, that's not what I saw, so I'm just sharing what I saw. I understand, you know, what you're saying, the purpose.
Yeah, that's, but that was one of the purposes of the Ring of Fire. around the table. So it's, so there is something in place, you know, for everyone to use. Of course, if they have your own practice, that's fine.
I did forget completely about that. Thank you. And if I could interject briefly, what I heard everybody say so far is, you know, if you don't know that you need to cleanse, then you won't cleanse. And I think nobody's, you know, I don't think anybody's arguing that you don't look at the dark and you don't welcome, you know, I mean, you don't look at it in fear, but you have to acknowledge that it is there so that you do cleanse. It's like you don't know you have a problem, or you can't solve the problem if you don't know you've got a problem. So if you don't know that it's there to work with, exactly, like I forgot that ring of fire, that's beautiful. I forgot about it. But yes, awareness, consciousness. Somewhere it was your attention. Your consciousness follows your attention. And that just keeps ringing. So, thanks.
This is Mark. I'd like to make a kind of a follow-on comment to that. You know, I've been out there for about 15 years now with books and making speeches all over the country and the world. And I've written about the dark, and I see it as being a very subtle influence in terms of our current civilization, very materialistic oriented and so on. What I have found for myself is that it's the old adage that what you get out is what you put back. And I have found as long as I can go and keep a very uplifting, very positive, very spiritual way about me, I have not had a problem. And there have been only one or two instances, and those are very short-lived. But it's to me, it's simply the way in which we present ourselves to the outside world that determines whether or not we're going to have any problems at all from dark.
Hi, this is Diana. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Hi, Diana.
Hi. As my sister said, I called her up late last night, early this morning, and was led to ask her to work in her way and for me to work in my way, to infuse more light. And Metatron said very clearly, be the light. And it is in this light that anything outside of the light is going to come up. It is in this light that all things are made pure. And it is through the heart that we are the light. And I was able to bring in the heartbeat of the central sun through a beautiful tool that Gregory Hogue has created called the Merkaba of Oneness, which I purchased through spirit urging, and there is a pole sticking out from the top and the bottom. One of the top was in the central sun. The other one was in the soul star. I just came back from Kona, Hawaii, where I made such a beautiful reawakening of the Lemurian energy. And that connected with me through my very awareness of Atlantis and myself. And what I saw was a fractured heart that needed to be mended in Atlantis. And it was this heartbeat from the central sun and heartbeat from the soul star of Gaia, connecting Lemuria, Atlantis, and me, and coming into resonance so that we are all beating the same beat. And Metatron was very clear. Be the light. Anything else outside of that cannot stand. And with Michael in his regalia, we're so bright, so unbelievably bright. Nothing can withstand that. Everything is enveloped in it. So whatever name you want to put out there, whatever you want to focus your attention on, if you are in your light, you are in your power, and nothing can withstand that light, especially when you are resonant in the heart with the central sun and Mother Earth Gaia. And that is where I stand in all of this. Blessings.
Thank you, Diana. That was beautiful.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you.
I would like to share something. How grateful I am for this conversation we have. I just got very simple answer for me that the awareness is light. So if I am aware, there is no darkness. And I'm kind of courageous. I'm not afraid for me. But I am now stimulated to be aware for everyone, for the earth, for the humanity. So this darkness will dissipate. And so that's what I'm so grateful for, listening to us, to this conversation, because I also believe that whenever I had the high blood pressure, it was when I was not aware. When I am aware, I am balanced. I am healed. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Anne Marie again. And I just wanted to remind the group that we do have a very powerful tool in the Cthulhu prayer, because
yes,
we are
we
the light in there.
Yes, I say that prayer every single day, Anne Marie.
Yes, so do I, and sometimes many times in the same day.
Yes.
Great reminder.
Hello there. This is Kelly.
Hello, Kelly.
Hi.
I kind of want to piggyback on what several people have said. I wasn't sure I would share, but I think I will. And I really resonated with what Diana said in a big way. My experiences sometimes seem to be so different from the rest of the group. I'm much more grounded in what's going on down here on the earth. What has happened for me since the conference is I'm becoming more and more aware of things around me. I can't tell you how many nights I've stayed up really late because all of a sudden I'm finding out about things, and I'm open to finding out about things that I didn't know were there before. And I think I'm very familiar with the Belial energy because I was killed in my most previous past life by that energy through a satanic ritual. I'll just leave it at that. So I came in being extremely aware of it. And I think I'll leave it at that. I'm not bothered by it in the slightest anymore. And in 20 years ago, I was working through it. 10 years ago, or 15 years ago, working through it a little bit, getting past it. Now it's like, most recently, I'm really here to learn about this financial system because there is something about it, and this energy that you guys have been talking about this evening is so obvious in its manifestation in the financial system and in the way that money operates in the world. In the most recent weeks, I have been finding out so much information about the light beings that are just ordinary people. Most of them so far that I know about are older women who are fighting this good fight with nothing but words, focus, and clarity, and sharing about this is what's going on, and these are the things that we're doing. And, you know, they don't talk about sitting around and having prayer and calling in the light, which I do, but they don't talk about that. You know, it's more grounded in or more mundane is a good word, in that, you know, this one woman is a lawyer. She's sending off all these letters to, you know, our Congress, to the World Bank. She's actually the lawyer for the World Bank. She is leading the charge for the currency reset that is supposedly in process, but she has real documentation about what has been going on for the last several centuries to create this system that keeps us under the thumb of this energy that would like to have everything in separation. And the only reason I'm saying all this is not for any reason other than the fact that I'm waking up to being conscious of it. I'm not afraid of it. I sometimes get a little pissed off about it, but for the most part, I'm excited about seeing the systems that are in place to change it. So how I deal with it is I am focused so intently on what I know I came here to do, which was to understand this money thing and to see where it could go to with light infused into it. And so that's where I put my focus and energy, and that's where I get excited about it. And if I'm excited about it, I'm excited about life. And it's nice to feel excited about being here, because for most of my life, I was wondering, why in the hell did I choose to come back here again? And now
that's
I know.
Why.
Yeah.
I know.
So thanks for letting me share that.
Kelly,
beautiful.
This is Diana. You are being the light. The lawyer is being the light. The light takes on many, many different phases. You are being the light. Go ahead, girl. Do your thing.
Hey, everybody. This is Joe.
Hey, Joe.
I'd like to get back to the original topic a little bit, you know, what Mark brought up about the sacredness of our crucible. And I think, you know, I think we all understand that. But what I think we may not understand is the sacredness of our own energy field. And just for the very reasons that we've been talking about, you know, the Belial will take any opportunity to jump into our energy field, and there's so many traps out there that have been brought up tonight, and more. And, you know, and a couple years ago, you know, I stopped paying attention to politics as much as I could. I mean, you can't get away from it completely. I quit watching the news. I started just, you know, dropping, you know, as much as I could, dropping my political positions and beliefs. Or, you know, there's still some of it there, but because it triggers me, you know, and I can see more clearly than ever that that's exactly what it's designed to do. And it's also designed to keep us divided. You know, back, you know, I had this vision, you know, that back in the days when you had a king, it was really easy for all the people to unite against the king if they didn't like him. But when you have politics and you have two different parties and you divide the people, now the people are fighting against each other, and the government can keep doing what they're doing. And so it prevents us from achieving unity consciousness. And in addition, and it triggers us, and it just triggers us massively. And it keeps us, you know, in that lower state, keeps us down in the anger and the hatred and the fear and all this crap, you know. You know, I remember a long time ago Jim Self saying that, you know, you can't change, you can't solve a problem from the same level of consciousness in which it was created. You know, you have to get to a higher state of consciousness, and that's what we're doing. But in order for me to get to that higher state of consciousness, I have to leave that other stuff behind. I cannot be involved in it. I cannot be tangled up in it. You know, discuss it, debate it, you know, anything like that. So I'm just, and I'm doing it, and I'm leaving it all behind. So I'm doing it because I hold my energy field as sacred, you know, and then I don't contaminate the crucible, you know, with my stuff. And it's an ongoing process, and I can't say that I'm not being triggered at all, because I still am. I can say that it's, you know, significantly less. The other things are health and food. I was having tea with a friend the other day, and I was getting ready to put sugar in my tea, and they drew in a sharp breath. And I said, well, maybe I won't do this. And they told me later they would have cried if I had put that sugar in my tea because it's so harmful. And maybe I need to have that same attitude, you know, to protect my energy field and hold it sacred from, you know, even sugar. So you know, it is vitally important that we hold ourselves as sacred. We are holding this energy, and we need to protect this energy. We're holding this consciousness, and we need to protect and safeguard this consciousness, and then bring that into the crucible so that we can achieve our mission, and that we can have pure unity consciousness within our collective and within our crucible. And I just think that's something very, very important to consider.
I agree with you, Joe, and I also agree with the fact that we need to cleanse. You know, and I think that's part of, I don't remember, years ago there was this whole process brought forth about at the end of the day that you assess your day. It's not about judging yourself, but assessing where you may have fallen short or what you could have implemented at certain times. And that's a way of cleansing, because it makes you become more aware in honoring yourself as having that sacred space and cultivating that sacred space. And it, being aware every time, not judging, but being aware of, oh, the next time that comes up, and you have a plan to alter it, because your consciousness is altering it. So, very good point.
As I remember,
mm-hmm.
that process, remember we've chatted about it, we talked about it before, but I always remember it as the last thing you do at night is when you sit down and close your eyes, you remember all of the good things that you did, all the successes that you had, all the smiles that you had. And that, to me, is the way to start. And then when you end up, you can then think about some of the things that you might have made different choices the next time around. But I like celebrating first. Just me.
Well, I think that's a very good point, because when you celebrate first, you see your successes and you begin to cultivate that light. You are that light in those successes. So beautiful.
Si, señorita.
This has been really a great conversation. I think everyone has stepped up and contributed significantly to this conversation. And I know John and I both share this gratefulness for this group. And I can see where these collective calls are becoming much more meaningful and much more interactive. And it's really important that we share these things. It gives fresh ideas to everyone as you share. And it kind of helps our teachers, the great beings of light who stand with us, to gear our teaching more. Sometimes I feel like it can be really more down to earth to where what we're dealing with in the present time, in the present moment. And I think that this conversation this evening really helps all of us see different perspectives of how our life is changing and progressing and how we have achieved so much in just 3 short years. It's just so beautiful.
Oh, and before we go, we still have somebody else that would like to speak, of course. But our next session will be July 24th. Just wanted to let everybody to put that on their calendar. And
it is a teaching I think we've kind of got things out of sequence, but the next one will be a teaching session.
Right. On July 24th. So
before we wrap this up, does anybody else want to make a comment or talk about anything?
Joan, it's Kathleen. I'd love to just add one more thing if we have time.
Sure.
Please.
Oh, of course we do.
So thank you. I so appreciate everything that everyone has shared and the idea of keeping our energy clear, because just in the basic kind of law of attraction, if we're clear and bright, nothing can come to us. We're going to attract more light. And in my work with working with people, when I first heard about the wobbles, you know, in my healing work with my clients, I just called in Michael and Metatron and Melchizedek and Uriel as my guardians and protectors of the sacred space. And, of course, Mother Mary and Mary Magdalene and Anna. And those fields are impermeable. There's nothing going to get past those fields. And I haven't noticed any wobbles among my clients or in my field, and because I wasn't looking for it. I was looking for the light. I was focusing on that. And I want to remind us all of our passionate love for our crystal friends and how they have emerged. The Andaras and the Quartz and the Anshus have emerged for us as our protectors as well and as our guides. And they're holding a frequency. We're not alone in the human realm. We have these incredible, powerful mineral beings now and elementals. So I was thinking about a few sessions back where El Moria was talking to us about our power, and many of us were saying we feel powerful because we have these tools, the spinning of the chakras, the color codes, these light templates. And I want to focus on that because I admit I got a little frightened by the word. Even the word Belial sounds just kind of creepy. And so I just was like, I don't want to go there, man. And I know that we have healed our trauma, or we're in the process of healing our trauma from Atlantis. That's why we're all together again. Most of my clients are also survivors of Atlantis. And we go back to that set point. When we go into our crucible and we go into those light templates, we go back to the zero point when we hold our crystals, those Anshus and those Andaras and those beautiful beings that we have. They remind us who we were before the fall. And that's what I tune into every day, is my ancient self, my soul energy. And that was a time of great purity. And that's what I need to hold, because otherwise I'm going to, you know, I will look for other things that will come to me. And I don't need to do that. I just want to keep moving in the light. So let's remember our friends, our crystal friends that are here to really protect us, along with Archangel Michael. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else?
Yeah, actually. Oh, big mouth here. Yeah, any of you who don't get our newsletter once a month, if you would do me a favor, do yourself a favor, I think, and read it. It's still out there on our website. Bottom line, in a couple of sentences, I never recognize anything that an elemental does. I mean, I know what they do long term, and I can see the mountain, and I can see all the things that they built. But I never really think about it. Well, there's an article in there that you can click on, and what they've discovered, and I listen to me, I don't know exactly which poll it was, but it was one of the early polls, and they have discovered that in the last year, where they measure an area, a very large area of the Arctic Circle, it's just ice. And that's the big concern about the climate change, is that the ice will eventually evaporate or eventually turn into water and flood the world, et cetera, et cetera. Well, they just have started measuring this, or measure it every year, that sort of thing. And they found out that there was a completely new 1 foot piece of dirt, and I mean many, 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 many square miles of dirt underneath the ice that was not there a year ago. Well, to me, I said, thank you, elementals. You're being very quiet, but you're going about your work, and that would be fantastic if they, in essence, can rebuild what is the under earth underneath the ice in the Arctic circles. Amazing to me. So if you get a chance, hit the article and read it and see what you think.
But, well, and I think that, you know, to bring it full circle on what we've been talking about, we have interfaced for several years now with the elementals to try to help them, and as well as the earth, bring them up to that fifth dimensional state of consciousness so they can create the environment that we need on earth to sustain us as we create Christ consciousness again. From the, like we did in the golden era of Earth. So,
well, yay elementals.
Well,
way to go, gang.
And yay Crucible, and yay everyone in our collective. It's just amazing. Amazing how things have changed. Mm-hmm. So, with that said, I think it's about time that we close our session tonight. And again, thank you all for coming and participating and giving your opinions and asking your questions. So might I call on Anne-Marie to lead us in Katumi's prayer? Would that be possible?
Certainly.
Ah, okay. Thank you, dear.
I am light, glowing light, radiating light, intensified light. God consumes my darkness, transmuting it into light. This day, I am a focus of the central sun. Flowing through me is a crystal river, a living fountain of light that can never be qualified by human thoughts and feelings. I am an outpost of the divine. Such darkness as has used me is swallowed up by the mighty river of light, which I am. I am, I am, I am light. I live, I live in light. I am light's fullest dimension. I am light's purest intention. I am light, light, light. In the world, everywhere I move, blessing, strengthening, and conveying the purpose of the kingdom of heaven. And that's it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, good night, all.
See you on the 24th.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Blessings to all.
Thank you, everybody. This was wonderful. Is there a way to get that Kusumi's prayer in an 8x10?
I'll send it to you, Sandy. I've got it.
Thank you.
Okay.